103. Weathered. Fear the old man who welcomed failure when young. If he has survived this long, he learned. Proverbs for Towers and War, Zenas, date unknown. Kaladin rose early on the ninth day and made breakfast. He wasn't familiar with the vegetables they'd bought at that village a few days back. Some kind of root, Zeth had explained. Except here, instead of growing down into cracks, roots dug into the soil. That just didn't seem sanitary. He washed the long orange things 3 times and found they tasted remarkably good raw, slightly sweet, and with a solid crunch. So he cut them and fried them in his travel skillet, and after they softened, a pinch of sugar enhanced their natural sweetness. And storms. Rock really had made a bit of a chef out of Kaladin. He chuckled at this, though it was difficult to maintain good humor under the circumstances. He set out a plate for Zeth, who was meditating, then scooped the rest onto his own plate and settled on a nearby rock. He gazed out over the brownish-green landscape with its hills and odd trees. In one of those, an entire flock of chickens was roosting, bright red and green, and he could hear them clucking from here. Syl settled down beside him. He was coming to like the way she went about full-sized these days. He could judge her expression and mood better this way. Right now, she slumped, wearing her modified and skirted uniform, elbows on her knees and chin in her hands as she floated half a foot off the ground, hair drifting around her head as if she were underwater.
"I don't like this," she said.
"Nail leaving early," Kaladin said softly. "Preparing things at the next monastery."
"He's a creep," Syl said. "How are the toes?"
"They're called carrots.
They look like people's toes."
"Nobody has toes this long," he said, eating. "And they're good. Tastes like a breakfast my mother made." He hesitated. "I put sugar on them, like mother always did for us kids. Rock really has corrupted me. He always insisted there were more flavors than hot and very hot." Syl smiled, but clasped her hands in front of her, still concerned. So Kaladin ate, then took out his flute and played for a little while, his fingers increasingly comfortable holding the wooden instrument, calluses from wielding the spear finding a home with another kind of work. The playing calmed him, and as it often did, the song brought the wind. He felt its attention, the unseen ancient Spren who inhabited this land. "Any guesses on what I should expect?" Kaladin said. "Nail is obviously going to be waiting for us. This is the Skybreaker Monastery, and he bears the Honor Blade. They've tried so many underhanded ways to kill Zeth, I worry this will be the worst."
"Because," Syl added, "Nail is an utter creep."
"Please," a quiet voice said, "don't speak of him like that."
The wind stirred Kaladin's hair, drifting past it. "He might have once been a hero as you showed me," Kaladin said. "But wind, in my time Nail has been a source of only misery, death, and frustration."
"He's just weathered," the wind whispered, "like that rock you sit upon."
Kaladin frowned, shifting, looking at the stone beneath him. It was merely a smooth, round stone, maybe 3 feet across.
"Like a rock," Syl said. "Stubborn, immovable."
"You are not those who speak with stone," the wind whispered. "I do not think you can hear its voice even with my help. But touch it, Kaladin, Sylphrena. I will try."
Kaladin glanced at Syl, who stood as he did. Curious, he pressed his hand to the stone, and she did likewise, her hand beside his. In a flash, he saw something. An impression. The wind was right, though. He could not hear the voice of the stone, if it had one. But he did see a beautiful statue of a woman, full-figured, her arms outspread, gazing down at what once had been a road here. He did not know who would have placed such a fine statue in such an out-of-the-way place. candles lit at its base made the sight feel welcoming, like a way stop for weary travelers. Then the years passed. He saw them in a rush, rainstorm after rainstorm. He felt the wind on the stone, and over time the statue weathered. The lines wore down, the detail vanishing, and then the features melted away. Years stole the statue's shape like sandpaper until, by the repeated washing of storms, it sank into the soil. The impression faded. The stone Kaladin had been sitting upon had been a masterwork thousands of years ago. Now it was just another lump of rock.
"I told you," the wind said. "I love the stones, and they are my sibling, but my touch breaks them ever so slowly. Nail is one of these stones, Kaladin, Silfrenna. Time has weathered him away, but like this stone, a part of him remembers what he once was."
"The only time I've given him pause," Kaladin said, hand pressed to the rock, "was yesterday, when I asked him why he became a herald."
"Make him remember," the wind said. "Please. I know you do not care for the heralds, Silfrenna, and they are not perfect, even when they were whole. Jezreon was proud, and Ishar thought himself above common people. Prala loved her secrets, and Batar could be conniving. Chana avoided taking responsibility, and Nail could hold a grudge. But they were good people, and they tried so very, very hard. Honor abandoned them to the weathering of time, but in some ways, they are the best that remains of him. A piece of an infinite god is still infinite, and the power within these nine, I think we will need it in days to come. Try to see their potential, not their faults."
"I'll try," Syl said with a sigh. "I mean, I know what you're saying is right. Hard to feel it, though."
"It is hard for Nail to feel that way about himself, too,"
the wind whispered.
"Please, Kaladin, help him."
"I kind of have my hands full with Zeth," Kaladin said, glancing to the side where Zeth was returning from his meditations. "Don't know if I have time for another patient."
"But that," the wind said, "is why I brought you here."
"You said a storm was coming," Kaladin said, recalling the first conversation he'd had with the wind at Urethiru.
"Yes," the wind said, "and they are the counter. Remember what the bondsmith said. I need you."
"But heralds?" Kaladin said. "Wind, that might be a little beyond my skill. I told Dalinar the same."
"You've already helped one who will soon be a herald," the wind said, her voice fading. "It's possible."
Zeth arrived and, well, Kaladin did suppose he'd helped the man. Zeth actually smiled as he picked up the plate.
"For me?"
"Yes."
"Carrots for breakfast," Zeth said, shaking his head. "Stonewalkers, you have odd tastes."
He tried one.
"Surprisingly good, though. We should pack up and go. I suspect Nin will be waiting for us. I can eat as we walk."
Kaladin looked at Syl, who nodded in agreement. So he cleaned up, then followed Zeth onward to the penultimate monastery. Wind blowing quietly along with them, and Spren streaming in the sky like a highway of light.
"Hold the wall!" Sigzo shouted through the pouring rain. "Hold!"
He swept along behind the ranks of men who stood on the wall as water streamed down off the ramparts behind them. This persistent drizzle sank in with a deep chill, slicking surfaces and ruining bowstrings, not to mention obscuring their view of the plateaus around them. Corrupted wind spren whipped past in the air, and the army faced a sea of red eyes staring out through the mist. Some among them unleashed a constant pounding of stones against the wall. crashing rocks, smashing at the fortification, a terrible, erratic drumbeat that left Sigsel's ears ringing. Men worked with halberds and spears along the top, amid striking rocks, their weapons pointed down at the deepest ones, bits of whom peeked out of the wall. To counteract the barrage of stones, the defenders had used stone wards to thicken the walls, but that made them wide enough for deepest ones to disappear into completely, popping out to attack the stone wards behind it, who used their little remaining stormlight to keep the fortification from falling apart. The constant barrage was going to run them out within a few hours. The enemy, however, seemed to have as much void light as they wanted, and Sigsel still hadn't been able to come up with an application of his plan that would work. Sigsel swooped along, trying to keep the soldiers protected. He had to have troops on the walls, as the enemy periodically dropped attackers up here. Indeed, something hit the wall nearby, something large. A magnified one hauled himself up over onto the wall top a second later, followed by another. Sigsel cursed, forming his spear and streaked toward them as they began battering soldiers away. Husked ones followed, three appearing on the wall from their ribbons of light to support the massive magnified ones. Sigsel struck at the largest of the creatures, and his spear sank deep, but the magnified one grew thick carapace, pushing him back away with a growth like an expanding column of stone. Sigsel's spear never touched anything vital, and that carapace grew at a furious rate in the storm, encasing his spear. Sigsel was forced to pull back, lest his hands be captured in the overgrown chitin, dismissing his spear. The magnified one broke off this segment of growth like a tumor along its side, then swung for Sigsel with a hand that had become a large club. Sigsel ducked, then rushed at the husked ones, but was kept at bay by the magnified one. The fused did frightening damage to the defenders before the storm wall arrived and distracted them. That finally gave Sigsel a chance to ram a spear straight through the back of a husked one's head. As the fused collapsed off the wall into the rain, Sigsel lifted into the air and noticed an encouraging flash of light from the next plateau over. He flew toward it, but the two remaining husked ones zipped after him, becoming lines of light that materialized into figures grappling him. One held his arms back, immobilizing him as the other grabbed the front of his uniform, pulling him close.
"We were promised a chance to fight your leader," the creature hissed to his face, "the one who defeated Lesion. Why does the Stormblast not come to meet our challenge?"
Sigsel grunted and began lashing the creature away, but it clung to him, holding on tightly.
"If I kill you," the creature asked, "will Stormblast chase me down for vengeance?" "You can't kill me," Sigsel hissed. "You think you're too strong?"
"No," Sigsel whispered, "but I've heard the name of my killer screamed on the lips of a dying man, and it's not you."
With a grunt, Sigsel kicked the creature free. The fused became a ribbon of light to return, but Sigsel was already lashing himself and the other fused upward, carrying them into the middle of a storm of light, a group that had just arrived via Oathgate. Windrunner reinforcements swarmed around, dozens of them attacking. The husked one behind Sigsel let go with a curse, then was chased away. A familiar figure hovered over to Sigsel, giving a salute.
"Hey, Hooch," Lopin said. "Sounds like you've been having a hard time of it."
Sigsel nodded.
"You heard
about Layton?"
"Yeah."
Lopin led the group of Windrunners who had taken the Ming to Herdaz. They were finally back, adding another 20 Radiants to Sigsel's army. They helped chase the Skybreakers away, and the fight quieted for a while, the last magnified one dying on the wall. She had left tens of Sigsel's soldiers dead and broken, one stone ward killed, and those stones kept hitting the wall, crash after crash.
"You brought Stormlight?" Sigsel asked.
"Not much," Lopin said. "Hooch, we nearly ran ourselves out flying that force for Dalinar. Then we get back, and there's none to be had in the tower. There wasn't enough to supply all of us, so half had to stay behind. What's going on?"
"Both bondsmiths are on a trip into the spiritual realm," Sigsel said softly, "but that's not widely known, so keep it to yourself and the command staff."
He spun in the rain, waving to Lynn as she shot past. Natum hovered over.
"Storms," he whispered. "Sig, I'm sorry about..."
Sigsel nodded and wiped rainwater off his face.
"If you two could help Scar and Pete keep things together here, I need to go and coordinate with the generals. We're basically out of Stormlight. With the last of it, we will need to retreat."
They nodded, and Sigsel flew down past the broken bodies, feeling worn out.
Sigsel, Vianta said, I calculate we are at our limit. If we spend any more stormlight, barring what the Windrunners brought, we won't have enough to get our army through the Oathgate to safety.
Understood. Thank you.
He walked to his command post to give the order, but as he did, he was met by Ka with a message. She whispered it to him. One of the enemy had made contact and had an offer. It was the defector, the friend of Relaine, Venli. Her offer to them wouldn't work. He didn't need more troops, and hers wouldn't tip the battle enough. However, it clicked. This was the piece he needed.